Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Mully and Hanley, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Boy, you guys are ready. You guys are fired off the buses.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
One of the things that I noticed right away off the bat with Ryan is understanding how easy it's going to be for us to have a partnership. It's going to be strong. I told him, I said, I got you. And this is something here that we're going to do together. No egos involved. In the end, we'll be able to look each other in the eyes, respect each other, and smile because we'll make good things happen.
There's things you have to do to win the news conference. I thought he won it in a huge way, and I thought he did it with authenticity, Joe Madden.
Authenticity has a chance to repeat itself.
I'm very impressed with the way that he carried himself, with his backstory, with the family, just the way he handled himself, I thought was excellent.
Mully and Henley.
What the hell's going on in this show?
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
The guy that hired him repeatedly called him Nagy. Everyone that talks about him calls him Nagy. And then I saw Patrick Finley tweet out that he asked him, what is the pronunciation of your name, and he told him Neggy, N-E-G-G-Y.
Which is why I was calling him Neggy yesterday, and we get texters, you know, you're wrong. I'm not fighting City Hall.
The other funny part of this is, yeah, when he thanked his father.
My father, who's been a big part of my life, Bill Neggy, appreciate everything.
Fair That's enough. It. I want a clarification, and now we'll never talk of it again.
What's up, Chicago?
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Is that the Lancaster, Pennsylvania accent? Did he say Neggy?
Yeah, he did.
He said Neggy, right?
And I knew him as Billy.
It's kind of close. I knew him as Billy.
That's it's like a hybrid.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Back home, they call him William.
Well, whatever way it works. It's fun. It's good to have someone to talk about. It's fun. I thought Matt Neggy did wonderfully. Neggy. Did wonderfully in the news conference. I thought he won the news conference. I felt good about where the Bears are going. I understood why they hired him. Listening to him, I tried to imagine what it would be like in a interview setting. He obviously brought his notes about Mitchell Trubisky with him. They were in lockstep with Ryan Pace's feelings about the quarterback. It's about the quarterback, baby, and they want to get the most out of this player. And hopefully, I mean, next year is the honeymoon. Hopefully in 2 years, you're looking at the third year of the quarterback. You're looking at the fifth year of the general manager. You're looking at the second full year as a head coach of this particular head coach in the 16th in Bears history. And you're looking at winning time, right? Are we in lockstep on that? I hope so. Let's get a win. Now, if you didn't hear it, Dan and Jason had a chance to talk to him after the news conference and after some of these interviews. And I thought it went very interesting. I thought they asked good questions, and I thought it was very interesting to hear the answers from the new Bears head coach. Let's take a listen now.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Why won't you go 14-34 over the next 3 years the way your predecessor did?
Well, here's the deal. We're real excited to just get in here and kind of see where this roster's at with Ryan, and it's just been a whirlwind here the last couple of days. So I'm excited to just kind of evaluate the talent and see, as far as the record goes, you know, I'm not going to get into trying to compare with that. We understand that we want to try to make a culture change, but we'll be good to go, and it's exciting for us. I can't wait to get going.
Now, I know you know the roster, because I know a guy with your work ethic doesn't walk into that room with Ryan Pace without knowing that roster top to bottom and knowing the roster status of all of these guys. So when you try to set what are fair expectations, fine. We don't have to put a number on it. I want to be fair to you as I criticize this team. And I had said before you were hired, I said, I'm sick of double-digit losing seasons, and this is a league where you can turn things around quick. Is it unfair of me to hold you to a playoff standard right away?
I think so right now, just because we don't know exactly. And that's honesty right there as far as knowing this roster up and down. I can't say I know it up and down. I just got done playing a 16-game season, season, plus a playoff game with the Chiefs. And so I know the roster pretty well, but to say that I know it up and down and know all the ins and outs of it, that's what Ryan are about to do in about another 2 hours here.
When we talk about leadership and all those other things and the interview process, what questions did you have for Ryan Pace and the Bears organization about what happened before you and how things can be turned around? Because, you know, you're in a position where this is your first go at it. You don't want to catch a brick and fail. You want to know that there, like you said, that there's good culture in place. What questions did you have for Ryan Pace?
Well, the biggest thing was just wanting to know what's your direction of this team. I didn't use the word expectation because that's a hard word to use. It's pretty broad, but knowing what's the direction, where can we go? And so my number one question was to Ryan, and I got this right away just by a feel of being with him, is can we be a partnership together? The general manager and head coach, can we work together? Can we trust each other? Can we, you know, work through the thick and the thin? And so instantly I kind of felt it. But then the next 4 hours as we went through it, I realized that, okay, everything that's being said right here of the direction of where we want to be offensive, defensively, special teams is one thing. But for Ryan and I to work together, I knew it could happen. I knew it could work, and we could try our best to try to change the culture.
How strong are your opinions generally about defense, whether it's the philosophy that you want your team to run or the control that you have with that headset on during games? You deflected a question about 3-4-4-3 and talking correctly about the 60% of the time in sub packages, the changing nature of some of these hybrid fronts, etc. But in general, how strongly at this stage of setting up the Bears do you feel about your influence over the defense?
And I think that's a great question. For me, I've never done it before, so what I think I'll do is just kind of oversee it and just get a feel for it. Now, situationally, where are we in as far as pressure down, a non-pressure down? But I'm really going to just stay away from that right now, depending on how our defensive coordinator feels on that. I want to make sure that he understands that that's his defense. He's calling these plays for a reason, and I'm just going to be there to oversee it and support him.
Have you spoken to Vic Fangio?
I have, yes.
And is he a candidate for the job?
Absolutely, yeah. And we're at a point right now where, you know, it's almost similar to with the roster. Ryan and I are about to really get to some good football stuff, and the staff's going to be one of the most important things that we look at. So I had a good conversation with Vic, and I just think for him, it wouldn't be fair for me to give a judgment or an evaluation on him without meeting him in person and just kind of hearing where he's at right now with this defense, with this move and me being the head coach, and can we make it work? And so being as real as possible, that's what I'm looking forward to doing, and we'll see how that goes.
Did you come into the interviews with a ready list in terms of what your staff would be and what would current Bears staffers have to show you or tell you in the interview process to keep them on board?
Yeah, so with staff, that's one of the most important parts of the interview process. You've got to be able to have a staff. But with that said, there's so many variables that go into it with guys' contracts and, you know, is a guy on a team that maybe is going to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs and his coach is going to get fired. But when you go in there, you have to have some depth to it. So you go through the depth with Ryan, for instance, and everybody else that's in there. And then you just kind of get a feel of where they're at, and you explain the situations of why you like that person. And you get to this point where I'm at right now, where you start really putting it, taking it, and making it a fruition.
I know it wasn't discussed by you or Ryan Pace. The words weren't specifically mentioned at the press conference today. But in these closed-door meetings, when Ryan is in there, when Ted Phillips and George McCaskey are in there, were the words Super Bowl or championship or title, those words mentioned? Did they mention it to you? Did you mention it to them?
No.
Why not?
Well, because, again, that falls into the expectations category. And every team in the NFL that you talk to, it's common sense that you want to win the Super Bowl. We understand that. That's why you do what you do. But there's a path that you need to take to get to that point, and it all starts with the culture. So right now our focus is on that, and then the Super Bowl comes when you do that stuff the right way.
Before you were hired, I went off a couple of weeks ago about hearing the word culture and usually hearing it from teams who are catching L's left and right and having bad seasons one after another. When I hear the word culture, I always want to ask somebody in your position, what exactly does culture mean? I mean, we all hear about taking away the football, running the football, not being penalized and being professional, but how does culture manifest itself and how will you execute your cultural change with the Bears?
You know what? I try to keep it real simple. And I think culture just equals trust. when you don't have trust within your organization, it could be anybody. It could be your defensive end that doesn't trust his defensive line coach. There's friction and it's broken. In order to have good culture, you have to have people that trust each other, that are honest and accountable. So when you have that, normally good things happen. And so communication is big. And it's easy to say we need to have a good culture, but they brought me in here for a reason. And one of my first objectives is to change the culture.
Why Matt Nagy? Why do you think they brought you in?
Because I'm ready, and I think I'm a good fit. This is a great opportunity, not just for me personally, but for this team, just to be able to get together and understand where I'm coming from. I'm energetic. I'm passionate. A little energy here for where they're at, and you can just feel it in the building. It's exciting, and yeah, have I been a head coach before? Absolutely not, but I was never a coordinator before that, and I was never a quarterback coach before that, and so they put trust in me to lead this team, and now it's on me to get it done.
Last question I have for you, Matt. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us here. I'm sure injuries came up. This team has been historically hurt in the last couple years,
yeah.
And especially knowing that Andy Reid tree coaches tend to follow his lead of long and physical practices. What are you and Ryan discussing regarding making sure that the injury curse doesn't continue?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to that point of talking about training camp yet, but I am a big believer in setting a tone and making sure that you are a physical team. So we'll discuss that. We'll look into that. We'll understand why are we having the injuries that we've had, and there'll be a plan to that. But I do believe that that's a way to go, and you just have to be smart the way you do it, and you have to understand and explain to your guys that, listen, this is how we're going to practice. This is the pace of practice, and we just go play.
Last thing from me, Mitchell Trubisky, is he a quarterback that you envision the Bears winning because of or winning with?
Well, right now, that's a hell of a question. Okay. I would say right now that you're winning with because of, I'd say, right? I mean, no, I can't say. I would say with, you know. You kind of stumped me right there. I think that he's a quarterback that's still developing, you know, and that's why I'm so excited to be able to help him with that and bring in a staff that can help him. So to say that you're going to win with Mr. Trubisky, I don't think he's there yet. But he can be there, and that's why we're doing what we do. I mean, it's a pleasure to have him on this team. He's exciting, and he's somebody that puts you in a good position at that quarterback spot.
Thank you for your time. Real estate exam, yeah, or the Wonderlic? Which one would you ace right now?
The real estate exam.
Matt, thank you very much, and good luck.
All right, thanks, guys. See you.
Good stuff.
What's not
really
to like there? I mean,
I thought the questions were great, and I thought the responses were fine. I think there's a lot there. I think there's a lot to talk about. I mean, obviously the defensive guy is going to run his side of the ball. That's it.
I'm not going to be sitting there telling you what to do.
You talk about culture. He defined it as trust, and I got to talk about that a little bit with the injuries. It's good they got into that. He's ready. That's why he got the job, and he's a good fit here, and that's why he got the job. And the response to Trubisky, great stuff there all the way around. We'll get to your calls next, 312-644-6767. Mully and Haley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I'd like to thank Clark Hunt, the entire Hunt family, along with Mark Donovan, Ted Cruz, and the rest of the Chiefs Kingdom for giving my family and I five wonderful years that we'll always cherish.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I guess that's an inside joke with us. That's why we played that one, because nothing to do with the Chiefs owners.
The Chiefs Kingdom?
Yeah, the Chiefs Kingdom was a Twitter handle from some blogger in Kansas City, and Dustin found a tweet from them that said that
bombshell
that Matt Nagy was preparing for the Bears job and didn't call plays.
So it was a done deal before the game,
yeah,
before the Saturday
before
playoff
game.
I loved it.
He wasn't prepared for the game, and he wasn't the play caller.
He scripted only the first 15 plays.
And the rest was on Andy, yeah. And that is apparently absolutely incorrect. And so we've been making Chiefs Kingdom jokes around here, and the fact that he actually used that turn of phrase is the reason we played that.
Yeah.
easy how you say the Chiefs owner's name, too.
The Chiefs owner, of course, the son of the former Chiefs owner, the late Lamar Hunt, who was, when I covered the Bulls, he was the leading he had more share of the Bulls than anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is a guy that had.
They cornered the silver market too, right?
He was an oil guy, I thought.
Yeah,
right?
but I think, I'm sure they.
I mean,
when silver was worth
huge money.
Yeah.
And
I think they still retain a.
I think they have a portion of the Bulls. Yeah. I don't know if they still have.
Wasn't it toothpaste
the majority.
As well? Something about toothpaste, I thought.
Hmm.
Because they were involved back when
that kind of money, you spread it around.
Were they involved with Sporting News for a time?
Lamar Hunt?
Yes.
You know, Dustin, it's a good question, and I wish I had the correct answer. I will look it up for you, and I think there is some, in the back of my mind, there is something there, but I think he was involved in everything.
Yeah, when you have that
kind
of...
But it started with oil, right?
Yeah.
And oil money is big money. Big oil money, big money. I don't know if you've ever been to the Middle
East.
Black
gold, Texas tea.
If you've ever seen a soccer team owned by a consortium of people from that nape of the neck, but they got a lot of cabbage. They can throw it around pretty liberally.
Didn't Jerry Jones make his money in oil too?
Jerry Jones, oil man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No question about it. Nice to have money in oil. Nice
Jed, move away from there.
Yes.
California is the place you ought to be.
That's
revved up the truck.
Went to Beverly. 312-644-6767. I won't even get into it. Mark is in Glen Ellen. Good morning, Mark. There's too much there.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to talk about, really quick, the expectations. I know that I wouldn't put any expectations on myself in terms of win total or anything like that like you did. But I would say, though, that as a Bears fan, we're not starting from scratch here. You know, like this is our fourth year that we're waiting for pace.
You've got it, Mark. You're right on the story here, because what you had here was not a culture of winning, but you did have a culture of try hard under John Fox, didn't you? And now all of a sudden you got to change that culture, the culture of losing. And now all of a sudden it's year four of a rebuild, but it's actually year one of Matt Nagy. So in his mind, it's a fresh start. He's entering the honeymoon period. From your mind, from a fan perspective, it's year four of Ryan Pace, and it's time to show something, right?
Exactly, and that's what, you know, I'm fine to give him the honeymoon period and to give him the support. He sounds like he is definitely being looked at or that, like that around the league in terms of being a, you know, a real potential winner. But the thing is that, you know, going into next year, we better see 7 or 8 wins. If we don't, Pacers should be on the hot seat immediately. And after the year after that, I think it should be 9 wins. And if it's not, once again, I think this thing is not necessarily working. So,
I think you speak for the Bears.
Right on it.
I think you speak for a majority of the Bears kingdom, but I don't know that Hal Hall shares these same expectations terms of.
And this is why I think this is why we need to talk about it, because the Bears, by hiring a new head coach, by extending the contract of the general manager, they've kicked the can down.
Yeah, they hit reset.
They're going down the road a little, right? And again, I think realistically, give the guy the honeymoon, but year two for him, sadly, is year three for the quarterback and year five for the general manager. If you got a 5-year plan, if you can't get a team, a winning team on the field in 5 years, well, you don't belong here, right? And now it's his second head coach, and I think you have to give it a hard look. So that's the year that we'll know.
And Theo always said that the smartest thing he did was not put a timeline on it. So when they were a year ahead of schedule by most people's accounts, everyone was excited about. But to your point, Molly, they took it down to the studs. They didn't have the franchise quarterback, so they didn't have the stud starting pitcher in play here, right? They had to go get Jake Arrieta. They had to recruit John Lester. They had a whole rebuild. I mean, it truly was reset. There are pieces in place here. Now, you know, just how much we can debate all day, right? But certainly you had the second overall pick, which is about as high as you get other than number one. So you have some things to build around here.
AJ is on the road. AJ, you're on with Molly and Hanley.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. I just wanted to get your feedback. You know, everybody's talking about the coach, rightfully so, but I wanted to see what you guys thought as far as, you know, this upcoming offseason and what Ryan Pace did last year in free agency. You know, you have to surround these coaches with enough talent for them to do anything, you know, on the field. So what do you guys think? Are they going to go bargain shopping again? Are we going to have more Marcus Wheaton, Quinn Demps, or is he actually going to go ahead and get some real playmakers for Coach Nagy? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I think it's a great question, AJ, and I think that when we look at where the Bears are at right now in their program, they are missing a lot of things, and the draft is coming up, and they've got a high draft pick, and they've got seven of them. So you would hope that they would be able to find some answers, and the draft really helped them last year. They got all those guys on the field, and there was a contribution. So you need the same thing from a rookie class. But when the Bears went to the Super Bowl, if you go back, the last time they went to the Super Bowl, and we can talk to Olin about this, they had a really good draft that year in terms of guys that contributed immediately. Devin Hester jumps off the page at you because that gave them an element that they did not have. Danielle Manning had a good rookie year, even if ran into problems in the Super Bowl. Mark Anderson was making plays and getting sacks, and that helped them immensely. But they had a team in place when they made those picks. So they were adding to something. Where is the team in place?
They had a core.
Guess what?
They had a core. Thank you, Joe.
They did not go bargain hunting. They didn't spend their money wisely necessarily. A lot of guys didn't want their money, or a lot of the top tier guys didn't want their money. And the guys who took it were guys like Pernell McPhee who weren't available. I mean, there were guys that looked good on paper when you signed them. Mike Glennon was sold to you as something he turned out not to be.
Here's the thing. When you really stop and look at it, they had Jay Cutler, and they had to keep Jay Cutler happy, so they promoted a guy that probably didn't belong in the job he had, or he needed help anyway with that job he had, but they needed to get Jay Cutler up and running, so they were Jay-centric. And that's fine. That's how life is. But they kept him a year too long, no question about it, because of his contract. Jay had a contract. They didn't want to pay out the whatever amount of money. And in retrospect, they ended up giving that money, more than that money, to Mike Glennon in order to continue whatever they were doing with big spending at the quarterback position.
But they didn't get a return on Marcus Wheaton. They didn't get
the. All of them. But I would like to know if the general manager had to go to the board and say, okay, here's where I went wrong. Jerry Angelo once had to do that over a bad decision. And I think it's only fair that he explained that bad decision. Instead, it's just, we've had some hits and some misses.
We were aggressive.
I don't know, man. If I'm them, I'm trying to get as many draft picks as humanly possible. And I might even trade down depending on what was going on there, because you need players. You need players at a lot of different positions. You need to be younger and you need to be moving forward. I know they're a young team, but just because you're young doesn't mean you're good. And some of the names you rattle off as guys with potential, I don't know that they do have that, right? I think they're kind of limited players. I'll tell you what, let's get to Joe, and we'll bring in Olin Krutz and run this stuff by him next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. If you didn't catch the 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, here's what you missed.
What was your takeaway from Matt Nagy's introductory news conference?
I think the likability of the guy, the competence of the hire. We've had a lot of guys come through town. There's been a lot of news conferences. He just seemed like a real person and someone you'd cheer for. Great story. Just a decent, good guy.
My takeaway is the guy is going to come every day and bring it, and he's going to try his damnedest. And here's hoping it all works out, because I want to take the journey with the guy. And I hope it's not 6-game losing streaks and 6-win seasons, because you can't take too many more seasons of that.
It's been almost 20 years of John Fox not answering a damn question, just lying left and right. Mark Trestman being a weirdo. Rex is our quarterback with Lovie Smith. And Dick Duran, a nice guy, but also a little difficult to relate to for fans. Breath of fresh air.
I might be missing something here. I didn't think it was impressive at all.
I needed a nugget. I needed a tater tot with my hamburger. I needed one little carb. I needed a carb. How about we are going to focus on winning half the games in the game? One little thing, like one tater tot.
Yeah.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. one. Every time Christmas we talk to Olin, it's a Christmas morning. That's we just run downstairs, all excited. And
tater tots for everybody.
Hope he has no coal for us. Good morning. How about that? I was gonna bring it up. You beat me to it. Yeah. Olin Kreutz joins us. Olin, you got another great Polynesian player out of Honolulu, and now he's in Alabama.
And that's what we do in Hawaii. Guy plays a half, and he's amazing. He's great. He's Look, if he wins the national championship, we all win the national championship. I felt like I was MVP of that game that night. So, you know, small town from like we are in Hawaii, we all cheer for each other. And right now, I think everybody's trying to find, you know, how they're related to this kid somehow.
I would just like to take the recruiting trips to Hawaii, whether I found a player or not. I'd have to have an excuse to get up, especially the last 2 weeks here.
It was funny because when I was getting recruited out of Hawaii, I had mostly head coaches come down.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, and I realized finally when I got to the school that it wasn't me. They were taking free trips to Hawaii. that was shocking. I thought I was the greatest player in high school, but I wasn't.
Well, you're pretty damn good, Olin, and you've been through a lot of the coaching stuff and seen guys come in. And, you know, I got to tell you, there was a certain skepticism that creeps in when you see a news conference like that one at the end of the year where there's no answers, there's no reasons, there's nothing that you can say, and you give the guy a contract extension, and you just everybody kind of wondering what continuity means. And I thought they came away with a pretty good coach here, Olin. I liked that moment. They're 1-0, but we haven't played a game yet, and you haven't seen him as a play caller, and you haven't seen him as a head coach, and again, you're kind of pushing the Peter principle every time you make a hire like that. But I'm cheering for the guy because I really thought he came across as a real person.
Yeah, and I think we all are because, you know, we try to do the radio and you know, not be huge fans. You know, but we're all fans of the Chicago Bears. And after watching 53 losses in 5 years, we're all hoping that this is the guy. And you come away thinking, he presented himself well, as you thought he would, if he won everybody over and all the things people who've been around the NFL for a long time say about this guy. And he stands up there and presents himself like a guy that is has only called plays for 5 games, yet has shown enough. And if you put him in a room, here's a guy who can sell himself, right? If he can get a head coaching job with the Chicago Bears with as little experience as he has. So, we're all hoping he does well. That, you know, after that end of the year press conference, like you mentioned, you know, Ryan gets a extension after John Fox goes out the door, and John Fox, you know, probably fired because of, you know, he held on to Loggins too long, and Ryan Pace's first year as GM wasn't the greatest of the first year. So all those things equal to John Fox getting fired. But this guy Nagy stands up there and looks like a guy who, you know, all comes out of nowhere and gets the job with the founding franchise with the Chicago Bears. So you expected an impressive guy to stand up there on stage and speak, and that's exactly what we got.
And as a player, Olin, you can project him in front of a group of 53, not just the quarterback's room. And that's how we did it. I think most of us came away thinking you could see him leading that group wherever it takes you. And my next question would be, if he's calling the plays like he said he's going to, I don't know, how important is the offensive coordinator with the title, and really how important is the offensive line coach, whoever that may be?
Right, and look, him standing in front of the media and his family and, you know, Ted Phillips and Ryan Pace and George Cassidy is not the same as standing up in front of a room of 80 to 100 football players, right? So
right.
I don't know how much he's done that. That's one thing you have to wonder about him now, because now he is the leader of that whole building, and he's the leader of even the coaching staff. And I've said many times on the radio that sometimes the coaches are the hardest guys to lead. So he's got to lead the coaches now. He's got to lead the players. He's got to lead special teams. He's got to lead defense. He's got to lead offense. And that leads me to your next question. And it's very important who he surrounds himself with.
Yep.
Because he learned from Andy Reid. The more good coaches you put in the building, the better for you. Look, on that staff in Kansas City, he was calling plays and doing a nice job when you look at the stats and you look at the film. And, you know, he goes up against Dick LeBeau, a legend, a Hall of Famer, in the last game in the second half. Dick LeBeau dials up the right defenses and shuts his offense down. nothing to be ashamed of. Just make sure you learn from that. But Brad Childress is in the room with him preparing. Andy Reid is. Eric Bieniemy, who's one of the most respected running back coaches in the NFL, offensive coordinator himself. So on the staff is a tight end coach, Melvin, who called plays in college. So you got a lot of play callers opposite of what the Bears had here on the Loggins, which we complained about, you know, all season, that they didn't have anybody to help Loggins out. But who he hires as his offensive line coach, who he hires as his quarterback coach, running back coach, wide receiver coach, you know, all of this is very important for him, especially when you're a young guy, because, look, the honeymoon will end soon. Chicago, different than Kansas City, where he's been. The media pressure is hard. You're going to hear a lot of things about your decisions, a lot of things about your coaching, and you got to be able to handle it, and you got to have a lot of good people around you who stick with you through the ups and downs, and you got to be able to lead people through it. So I'm very interested to see who he hires to put on his staff, and I'm sure there'll be high-level guys, because if he's an Andy Reid disciple, like we all know he is, that's what he learned there.
And I know that Brad Childress retired Olin, and he's out of the picture, but that kind of guy would be perfect to bring in.
He should drive to his house right now.
Oh, yeah. He's from here. He's from here. Yeah. You know, he's from the South Suburbs.
Go find Brad, ask him how retired he is.
How many Benjamins get you out of retirement? Yeah.
Listen, I'm retired. See how his wife feels about him being retired. Is he driving her crazy yet? So see if you can talk him out of it, because there's a great guy to have in the building, a guy who's not trying to work up the ladder, a guy who's not cutting your legs out from under you while you're not looking, who doesn't want your job, who just wants to win football games. So that kind of guy, you know, that would be perfect. And I heard someone say, while I was driving around listening to David Hall, while he was in love with Nagy, I was thinking, well, I wonder how retired Childress is. You know, I wonder if he can go talk to him, because, you know, you can always pull a guy out of retirement.
And, you know, I mean, Olin, look, I mean, that was our complaint when you really got down to it and you had problems with Dowell Loggins. Who was he leaning on? Who was around him? Who was with him? They were all defensive coaches. The defensive side of the football was doing fine. That wasn't the problem. But when you had nobody there that had been a play caller.
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't start with that one. You don't need a babysitter. You need a play caller. You need someone to help this kid. And I really think, you know, I mean, you know, Daryl Bevel, we heard already somebody say, well, oh, great. That's a great idea. He called bad plays, too, in the second half, in a Super Bowl. I don't care about any of that. I want people that have done it, that have been through it, and I don't care who they are. And I again, my fear, this guy's been with Andy Reid the whole time, and Andy Reid and no one else. You got a general manager who was down in New Orleans, was in New Orleans and nowhere else. Get people that have been someplace else. Get a lot of different ideas. Put them in a room and figure out the best play.
Right, because there's going to be situations come up that these guys haven't been through. Get them someone to lean on, you know, and McVay took the league 97 years to find Sean McVay. Now everybody thinks they can find the next one tomorrow. But look, he got lucky, and McVay got Wade Phillips. And we all know that Wade Phillips has been a head coach, an assistant head coach. He won a Super Bowl in Denver with his defense. So those kind of guys who've been through a lot, because look, there's a lot of head cases in the NFL. There's a lot of situations that go on. Someone's going to need to get in someone's face at some point. There's going to be bad days where everybody play bad, everybody sucks, everybody needs to be fired. You need to lead the guys on those weeks, because anybody can lead when things are going well. So you got to surround yourself with good people, and there's constant change in the NFL. And, everybody keeps talking about the Rams, so if we talk about the Rams, look, they put together a really good staff down there. Well, now their quarterback coach, who you're just talking about, who was kind of their veteran guy, he calls plays, he's going to Oakland. So things change very fast in the NFL. Right. And now they've lost a guy, and they got to come into their second year and see where they're at. But you need to put a lot of good people in your building, and it needs to be a mix of people, right? It needs to be young guys, and there's also got to be a few older guys around. Look, even for Ryan Pace, I mean, you take a look at the Bears management, and you start to wonder who Ryan Pace goes to talk to when he makes a lot of decisions, because even he has all young guys around him. But you know, he has Ted Phillips and Jordan McCaskey to lean on, maybe, but he doesn't have. There's just a lot of young people in that building, and that's something you worry about when people are young. It's like a player. when you're young, until you prove yourself, no one totally buys in 100% yet.
And the analogy here is this is like a first-round draft pick, right? This is a guy that you project. You don't have a track record. You project that he can be a head coach, and you project that he can, you know, play at that level. And sometimes they're, you know, you're right, and sometimes it's a bust. It's just a hard call as to – so you got to get them all the help you can. And they're first up, right? They're first bite at the apple. So fill this staff. Get going.
Yeah, fill the staff with the best guys you can find.
Yep.
Don't save money on these assistant coaches. You know, everybody wants them. A lot of guys want – everybody in the coaching world knows who the best guys are. So they're all after them. The guys who think they're going to get a job, they're all on the phone talking to them. You got to sell yourself first. And if a guy buys in to want to be on your staff, you know, he's got to go – they got to work contract details out. And while maybe you're fooling around, other people are calling around to try to get them. So you got to be ready to have the best guys in any business. You know, you want the best guys on the radio, like Mully and Hanley, you got to pay them.
Olin, the expectation is Fangio sticks around. What happens if he doesn't? How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is it to retain Vic Fangio?
Well, I think it's really important. I you know, a lot of the good guys have signed already. I think Vic has shown how you know, the job he's done here. He's kept them in the games, even with the offense they had all last year. If you watch the games closely, they're in a lot of games because of their defense. They go up to Minnesota, do a nice job in that game, in the last game of the year, and all the injuries of Leonard Floyd out, and, you know, it's just the safeties, Dempsey's out, and, you know, the linebacker Freeman is out. So, you know, keeping him to me is very important, and his staff he has already gives Nagy one less thing to worry about. You know, and if the meeting went well and they think they can get along well and they match together, then to me that's a no-brainer, right? So you got all that experience we've talked about in that defensive staff where they're over 100 years of coaching defensive football, and that showed up. They're the opposite of the Bears' offensive staff last year, so that shows up. So if you can keep those guys in the building and you just got to go out and get your offensive staff, I think why not?
We'll let you go, Olin. Are you on board with this? Do you like this hire?
I do. I like the hire. I like that Ryan Pace picked his guy, you know, and put his mark on his franchise and said, let's go with this young offensive mind, match him with Trubisky. And I like the fact that he's from the Andy Reid tree, but you know, a lot of people were, you know, in love with the press conference. I'm gonna watch it. I don't get much out of that. You know, it's just so hard to tell, guys, right? It's,
yep.
Like, this is just a guess. I never met the guy, Ryan Pace, in a room with him. So he's the guy who met this guy. All I see is, you know, the one thing I liked about him is the first play of the game, the Kansas City Chiefs try to throw a go route to Tariq Hill. Tariq Hill drops it in the first play of the game. And Nagy just looks at his play sheet and goes on to the next play. So, to be honest with you, that's all I know about him. You know, I like that he didn't explode on the sideline and didn't shake his head. His body language is good, and that's where leadership starts. So, to be honest with you, that's all I know about him is one play I've seen in a playoff game.
Thank you, Olin. We appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
always
Olin.
A joy to talk to Olin Krutz, and always great insight from him. Really had fun today. Want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And most of all, thanks for giving us a listen. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Every day, we absolutely appreciate you tuning in. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, live at 5. Please join us.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.